This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be continuing our Romans. If you don't have a journal, if you'd like a journal, this one's free, and we encourage you to start writing notes in our, if you want to ask Eric for it, just he'll pass it to you, but if we'd like to take notes during our sermon series in Romans. If you're new to our church, we like to do sermon series. We like to allow the Word of God to determine the topic. We want the Word of God to give us direction. And so that's what we do. We've been doing it. We just finished in Galatians. Right prior to the summer, we went through a whole summer series with leaders in our church sharing, and then we're now continuing in Romans. Romans probably will take us to the end of the year, maybe even a little bit afterwards. But it's a very challenging book. It's a very challenging in a lot of ways. It's a very complex. It's a deep, and there's almost every word has a meaning that we could just stop and pause and unfold that one, but we don't have the time. But one of the reasons you have a journal is so that you can write notes and then you can study at home. Last week I mentioned that the sermons are basically samplers. We're going to just kind of go over some of the scriptures. Some scriptures we will not go over because we don't have time, but I behoove you to go and read and study. Romans is one of the most important books of the Bible, and so please read it. I'm anticipating that you would do your job and to say, God, speak to me. In the journal, I'm also asking that you would write, Lord, what are you saying to me? Not what are you saying to my friend? What are you saying to my spouse? I wish somebody, we don't play that game, but I wish someone else was here to listen to that, because the Lord knows who's here and who's not, and the Lord knows that we need to listen to it. I also make a promise to you that anything that I'm sharing with you, I am implement as best as I can in my life first. I already anticipate whatever I'm sharing, I will be challenged in that area first. And so I preach, I don't do this lightly, because I know that I want to live out what I'm sharing. If you're new to our church as well, some of the words that we just really love is integrity and character. When we come to church together, it's about Jesus. It's not about you, although we do love you, but it's not about you, it's about him. And so we just want to make sure that we stay focused on Jesus. 2 weeks ago, I asked you a question in Romans chapter 2. Who do you think the most self-righteous person you know? And of course, you thought of a name, and I suggested that if you didn't put your own name there, then the list is not complete. All of us have, we look through the lens of self-righteousness more than we like to admit. I know that I do. One of the things that really challenged me and changed maybe the way I look at things is when we did the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and blessed are the merciful. And the way I interpret the merciful part is that you try to place yourself in that other person's shoes. And that's tough. You know, there are days, and I say this embarrassingly, that sometimes I would look down at the homeless community in town. So we would always have homeless people come to the church, and sometimes it was hard for me to not have an attitude or be frustrated. And one of the things that the Lord really helped us is through that passage of blessed are the merciful, is that place yourself in their shoes. And then I began to see people differently. If I place myself in their shoes, and let's just say some homeless man, this gentleman would come, I'm trying to think, if I lived his life, if I had his parents, if I had no introduction to the gospel, if I had his education, if I had his temptations, I probably would do the same thing he's doing. I think it would be easy for me to say, how come you don't do this? And how come you're not doing that? And how come, you know, and begin to implement my life into his life and then get mad at him because he's not living the way I would. It's projecting. And the Lord really challenged me not to project, but to have mercy on those. Put yourself in their shoes and ask the Lord to help them to be enlightened by the gospel. not by my judgmental attitude, but by the gospel. And we sang these beautiful songs, which we're going to sing partial again at the end, but God will set them free. So I looked at people differently. I don't look at them with judgmental eyes as best as possible. I'm not perfect at it, but look through the eyes of mercy. And so instead of being disgusted by that person or the other, what happens, the Lord really changed the way I look at things and began to be heartbroken by them. So instead of saying, oh, that's disgusting, or that's, you know, just, you know, you're disgusting, it's like, man, my heart breaks for that person. And you can see the difference. You see the difference. You're not looking down at people. You're looking at them. And then you try to look at them the way Jesus looks at them. And this is what's going on here, is that Paul is trying to do his very best in his writings to this church that are having troubles looking down at another group in the church. The church is struggling. There's a spirit of disunity because one group thinks that the other group is not worthy of salvation and not really grasping it. We just did a whole sermon series on Galatians. Remember that? They were talking about circumcision, and Paul was saying, no, it's what Jesus did on the cross. And it's the same thing here in Romans. And so the self-righteous person, the question I ask is because the church was having a hard time seeing itself the way it is. And Paul is trying to enlighten them. In chapter 2 says, therefore, you have no excuse, verse 1, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourselves. Because the same standard will be upon you. Because you who pass judgment do the same thing. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. I'm getting off script here. I might get a little... It's interesting when I watch on social media how easy it is to point out the other person's faults. I mean, that's easy. And on social media, on Facebook, for us millennials, us Gen Xers, so you don't believe me, you boomers, all right, it seems like it's easy to cast judgment. And I said this years ago, there was this really rich person talking about the environment, and yet they were living in an 8,000 square foot home. Just think of the environmental impact of an 8,000 square foot home, the energy, the taking care of the property. And it would be easy to judge that person because they're saying, they say one thing, but not living like that. And it was about 4 years ago, I challenged our church. We do the same thing. Okay, we may not live in 8,000 square foot homes, but we say one thing and we don't live that way. We say that we trust in Jesus, but we try to do everything we can so that we don't. We say that we know that, we hear this especially lately, that the judgment is coming, so Jesus coming back soon, but we don't really alter our lives. So again, it's easy to point out the speck in the other brother's eyes, but it's hard to see the beam in our own eyes. So therefore, you have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. And in verse 2, now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you are a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? And that's the thing that we mentioned, and I just want to maybe hammer home, is that God isn't fooled. We might fool each other, but he's not fooled. And you have to remember that God is truth, and he knows all things. So the point number one I said 2 weeks ago is that God can't be fooled. Point number two is that self-righteous people are blind to their own faults. And then I read that story of King David. Not only was he blinded to it, he was so judgmental that he wanted that person in the story to be killed, but couldn't see that he was that person. And point number three is that God's kindness leads to repentance, is intended to lead you to repentance. And so our challenge as a church is to be used by God and try kindness. tried kindness and could lead someone to repentance. I always tell my parents, they're older and maybe raising teens or soon-to-be college students, I tell them emphatically, love your kids. Don't let anybody else love them more than you. And be kind to them and love them. And I believe that that will be drawing them to Jesus. And so then we're here now up to date. How many of you, we asked at the very end of last week, how many of you need a miracle? And many of you raise your hands, and we all need miracles. And I want to talk to you about a miracle that Paul is going to talk about. And so that'll actually, the word, you know, I don't coordinate with Bryce, who's not here. He's at a funeral. I don't tell him what songs to sing. Sometimes I'll give a request, but I'm not managing his song selection. I believe, and I like to enable him and empower him, that God can speak to him. But it seems like week after week, it's always in synchronization. And today was just like in sync 100%. Because it's a miracle what Jesus, and we're talking about miracles, what Jesus has done. And Paul's going to bring it out. A few weeks ago was the Olympics. How many of you watched the Olympics? Yeah, I did too. One of the things that is interesting, you guys are young, you guys get to choose the sport you want to watch. Back in the day, we had no choice. You had to watch what was on. And so, so that allowed Robin and I to one night watch the high jump. And that's always amazing to me, the high jump. I don't know if you ever tried the high jump yourself. It's pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult. And of course, during the whole TV presentation, they'll maybe do the history of it. And they used to jump differently. And then I think it was in the 60s, they just jump up and backwards. It's pretty interesting. But I don't know if you know this, but the world record for the men's high jump is 8 feet and a quarter inches. So I'm not sure how much 8 feet is, but it's probably like right there. I'm not sure I could jump 2 feet. I could jump 2 feet, I think. I could never jump 8 feet. Anybody here can jump 8 feet? Yeah. 7 feet? 6 feet? 5 feet? Elijah raised his hand. Here he could jump 5 feet. 4 feet. Anybody here can jump 4 feet? Mike, maybe. You know, if you stumble, I can see you doing it. You're so tough. 3 feet. Raise your hand if you think you jump 3 feet. There you go. Got a couple. Yeah, I believe you. 2 feet. Yeah, I could probably do 2 feet. The women's record is 6 feet, 10 inches. So it's probably like right there. It's pretty amazing. The world record was for men is still in existence from 1993. Javier Sotomayor, Cuba. And Paul is telling us in Rome is that it's a miracle. It's a miracle that we're part of the body of Christ. The only reason I brought the high jump, it's like a miracle of you and I jumping 10 feet. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. And Paul is saying it's a miracle. And look what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And what he's saying here in verse 23 is that all have sinned. We talked about that in the first week. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all attempted to jump this high jump, but we've all failed. All of us have failed. Now, some of you, like, you know, someone in the back says they could jump 6 feet, but 6 feet isn't 10 feet. 10 feet's the rule. 6 feet, as great it is not 10 feet. So basically, 6 foot jumping or 2 feet is the same. You haven't reached the goal. And so the number one thing I noticed in reading this passage in chapter 3 is I wrote here, do you believe in a miracle that there's righteousness apart from the law? The law would be that high jump, and you can't do that. I can't do it. And Paul is trying to tell them they can't do it. The only way that you can make it is through Jesus. And for and all of us struggle with that. All of us would love to talk about how high we can jump or how well we've lived our lives. But even then, apart from Jesus, we still fail. So Romans chapter 3:21 is righteousness of God through faith. The second miracle, as I said, the righteousness by faith. And I want to repeat that, righteousness by faith. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. Do you have faith in Jesus? It's saying, I want to give my life. I'm going to submit my life, my desires, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to believe that, you know, we talk about that in the Apostles' Creed, that he died and rose again, that he literally rose again. And then I trust and believe in him. And I have faith in him, and then so much so that I'm going to submit my life to him and to his teachings. Righteousness comes by faith. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, trusting in Jesus, giving your whole life to him and his teachings. The third miracle I see here is that the righteousness from what Jesus did. Verse 24 of chapter 3, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. If you can't remember anything I'm saying this morning, remember that the gift of righteousness and salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. Verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation. Now, that's a big word. And we're not going to settle there right now, but it's a big word, and I encourage you to look it up, propitiation, verse 25. By his blood, to receive by faith, that was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Jesus died for our sins. A famous theologian writes this, we take it that Paul's statement that God purposed Christ as a propitiary victim means is that God, because of his mercy, he will to forgive sinful men, and being truly merciful, will to forgive them righteously, that is, without in any way condoning their sin. He doesn't act like it didn't happen. Purpose to direct against his own very self in the person of his son, the full weight of that righteous wrath which they deserved. So Jesus takes on the responsibility for our salvation. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. Verse 26, it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So our blessing, our miracle is that we get to be part of this high jump team that you and I can't make, but because of Jesus, we are on his team. And I just want to say thank you, Father. If it was up to me, I would fall short. Verse 27, then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. In other words, you can't brag that you're saved. You know anybody that does sometimes talk about, you know, how righteous they are? It's like somebody talks about how they have no cavities. You know anybody with no cavities? Don't raise your hand. Now, I know many people don't have cavities would love to say it's because of their works, right? They brush every day and they floss every day and they do all that and they have no cavities. But then I've read somewhere it has lots to do with genetics. And so you can't take credit for no cavities. I'm sure it's both, but in salvation, it's not both. It's through Jesus Christ, all right? I don't want to confuse you. So none of us could ever make the 10-foot jump. So we can't brag about being saved. We can only brag on what? The cross. And that's what Galatians was all about and what Paul was trying to say. We can only brag on the cross. That's what I love about the songs that we sang today. It was about what Jesus did. And so Paul is trying to tell his church that is about to split here because of some differences that they had, is listen, I want you to focus on the most important thing. You can't brag that, you know, I have no cavities. That doesn't bring salvation. You can't get judgmental on those, like, how come you didn't do this and how come you didn't follow that law? Because that doesn't bring salvation. Salvation comes through faith and trust in Jesus. And Paul is saying, when you focus on the most important thing, the body of Christ is united. The body of Christ is united. You remember a couple weeks ago we talked about there are so many things that would disunite us. You know, some of you celebrated yesterday that Florida State lost. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand, because that would disunite us. And some of you don't like the foods that you know, certain people like, or you like very cold rooms. Some of you like warm rooms. Anybody like a cold room? Yeah. Anybody like a warm room? Yes. And so there are a zillion things that would separate us, a zillion things that would split this church, Mosaic Church, if we focus on that. But if we focus on who Jesus is and what he's done, not only for my life, but for your life, Jesus died for you, Eric. He died for you, James. He died for you, Christopher. He died for you, Mason. Mason's like, me too. And even though I may not like the same foods you like or the same music you like, that you and I are united, that we have placed our faith and our trust in Jesus. And Paul is trying to tell the church, make the most important thing the important thing. It's Jesus. Here at Mosaic Church, we want to make the most important thing, the most important thing is Jesus and what he's done on the cross for us. Now, if you don't really understand exactly what I'm talking about, let me encourage you to ask the Lord to reveal to you this truth. I cannot convince you to submit yourself to Jesus. You're going to have to ask the Lord to make himself real to you. But Paul is trying to bring unity to the body. And he's encouraging the church, us as well, to place our trust in him. And let's brag about what he has done, not what I have done. We live in a world that we literally, I just feel for our younger generation, because constantly it's about self-promotion. Look what I'm doing. Look what I've done. And even sadly in the church, we see it, you know, look what I'm doing for Jesus, you know. And what we need to be doing is bragging on what Jesus has done. He's done. For some of you who know me long, long time, you know that Jesus has done some incredible things in my life. If you're new to our church, you know, my wife and I, we've had our struggles in our marriage, but because of Jesus, we've been united. 36 years, coming up on 37 years. And I can only tell you that's because of Jesus. It isn't because we like the same foods. It isn't because we like the same things on Netflix. It isn't because, you know, a lot of things. We are opposite, my wife and I. But we're more united than ever because of Jesus. And so I pray that the rest of my days of my life, I want to brag on what Jesus has done in my marriage, what he's done in my life, what he's done in our church. He has taken people with all different backgrounds, all different cultures, all different ethnicities, and he's brought them together through the banner of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate today. And so that's our goal is as we're going through the book of Romans, is to bring our body, not only our church, but all the other churches, in unity under the banner of what Jesus has done. Because let me tell you, everything from this point on, every day, every week, on the social media, the news, it's going to try to divide the church. The country might be divided, but I'm worried about our church. And I pray that we won't lose focus on the most important thing, is that what Jesus has done and what he's done on the cross for you and for me. If you've never given your life to Jesus, let me encourage you, now's a better time than ever. There is no better time than right now. And I ask that maybe the Lord is speaking to you. You're saying, Pastor Martin, maybe I've never really given my whole life. Maybe intellectually I have. Relationally, I'm part of the church. And that was a challenge of the Roman church. They thought because they were part of a certain group that somehow they were in. And Paul is saying, no, it's just because you're part of a group doesn't mean you're in. It's our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. So maybe today's your day. I'm going to ask the band to come on up and we're going to sing and finish our time. But if you need, the reason I want to show a clip, but I'm not going to show it. One of our Castaway with Tom Hanks. Anybody ever seen that movie? Yeah. Who has not seen that movie? Castaway. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed if you've never seen it. The movie's like probably 20 years old, right? It's about a guy that got in a plane crash and lived on an island for a long time. And at the very end, he was found. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. I don't ever want to be in that situation where I'm lost in the, I think it was the Pacific Ocean. You know what the chances are of being found in the Pacific Ocean on a little raft? I mean, like, it's impossible. And the story is really nice, but it makes a point, which I like to celebrate, is that God found us while we were lost. Lost at sea, hopeless, helpless. By our own doing. It wasn't like because you were in a plane crash and you just, no, by our own doing, we separated ourselves from the love of God and the life of in Christ. And somehow, by God's grace, if you're saved this morning, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. So much so that there are, sadly, billions of people that don't know him. If you're part of the family of God, it's just mind-boggling. The miracle and the joy that we should have. That's why every Sunday, man, I just want to jump out of my shoes. My knees won't let me. And I'm just so excited because I was lost at sea with no hope, no chance of being saved. And God, by his grace, found me and loved me and brought me part of his family. And maybe you too, right? Maybe? I pray so. Let's go ahead and stand and close our eyes for a moment. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, every head bowed, eye closed, even the band watching you. You say, Pastor Mario, I've never really given my life to Jesus. I've been part of the church. I love the culture. But I don't know if I've ever actually given my life to Jesus. That's you. And I would like to do that. I'd like to submit my life to Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody in this room is making the proclamation that they've given their lives to Jesus. So Lord, I thank you for this church body, a Mosaic church. Lord, you've brought us for 17 years. And Lord, you're going to continue us another 17 years, but only if we keep our eyes on you and remember what you have done for us. And Lord, we're going to give you all the glory. Lord, we thank you that we are found righteous, not by what we've done, but by what you have done. And Lord, thank you that we don't have to try to jump over this 10-foot high bar, but because we couldn't do it. We'd just be a bunch of failures. But Lord, because of you and what you have done, Lord, we are part of your family. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to keep the main thing the main thing. And Lord, all the other stuff, whether we like the Tex-Mex or burgers, those are just trivial compared to the uniting spirit under the banner of Jesus, that you are our King. And my brothers and sisters, we serve Jesus together. Or so we say, thank you, Father. Help us to focus on that. Help us to be merciful with each other. To see people through your eyes and one another. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, let's sing this song.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.